Is podcast category targeting important? Podcast stories, challenges, opportunities of the week, and Spotify submission update. And we got some listener comments. Well, welcome to the Spreaker Live Show. This is episode 149 for March 7th. We're already into March. My goodness, spring is right around the corner, and I'm definitely excited to get into spring. I'm Rob Greenley. I'm the head of partnership at VoxNest, Spreaker, and Blog Talk Radio. And thanks for downloading us today and just clicking play to check us out. We always enjoy doing the show and having you join us. It's always a great pleasure. I'm also joined by my co-host, Mr. Alex Exum, who's the host of the Exum Experience podcast on Spreaker. Alex, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Rob. Thanks for having me here as always. Ready to rock.
Yeah. Ready to rock and roll with some podcasting stuff. That's right.
And heavy stats. We're going to get a heavy stat show, it looks like.
Well, it is. It is. And we're going to talk about Spotify a little bit too, as you could hear in the lead in. And if we have anything, and there may not be a bunch of podcasting stories today, but we'll come up with a few, I think. But we live stream this show every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern from SpreakerLiveShow.com. So if you wanted to check us out live, most people listen to this show on the on-demand side, but if you happen to carve out a little bit of extra time on your Wednesday afternoons, if you're on the East Coast, it's probably a little easier because it's after work, but during the work day to check us out live, that would be fantastic. So it'd be great to have you. It's a great place to go in and add a comment or give us some feedback right during the show itself, and we'll respond to you in the comment area and see if we can make sure we cover that. I don't think we always cover, Alex, the comments that come into the thread on the show, but we certainly take those comments and feed them into the next episode. So we're going to do in this episode as well. We're also available in the Amazon Echo smart speaker, you know, the whole personal voice devices that are out there all over the place. We're also working to get in the Google Home also. So that's a terrific place to find us over there. Spreaker does have a skill on the Amazon Echo type platform. I don't want to say the name of her because she's always listening. And Spreaker Live Show also has an app on Android and iOS too, so you can go in and get just our app for this show and get the live shows and get the on-demand episodes are all in there too, and you can see the comments. You can comment in the app as well. That's a product of the Spreaker platform that you as a Spreaker podcaster can get your own app out there for your show. So anyway, I wanted to throw out a correction. I misspoke a little bit on last week's show about I'm talking about Spreaker's support of Apple's new tags for episodes and series numbering. Spreaker does fully support it, and I don't really like the new Apple spec for counting episodes. Alex, I don't know if you've really looked at that closely and how it displays the numbering from the most recent episode as number one. It's constantly changing the numbers of your episodes. It's a little bit confusing. So it goes from especially as you look at the history of the medium, the first episode is always number one. It's at the bottom of the list. And the most recent episode is usually the highest number, right? Which would be how many episodes that you have. So that's the spec. So the big debate is whether or not you remove your episode numbering from the oldest as number one to the newest as the highest number at the top, right? Well, Apple's flipping that, right? So they're listing number one as the newest episode, which I can see their point to some degree. But if your episode numbers change every week based on adding a new one at the top, it can be a little confusing. So I don't know what you think about
it. You know, it's funny. I always go by the date of the episode. I know a lot of people put episode numbers in the shows, and for certain shows, I think that's important. Like there's especially short run shows, and it's a series type thing. Serial, for example, you know what I mean? You want to be able to say, okay, I left off on episode 6. I want to get to episode 7. But for some others, and this, I'm speaking of radio and a show maybe like I do, right, on culture, society, current events, and news. I think most people are looking just for the most recent episode by date or title, like, you know, in my instance. Now, others, I think it may be different. but I rarely look for a show number. I mean, I'm just thinking about the podcast that I listen to via iTunes. It's usually whatever's at the top of my list. Now, I think I have it sorted possibly by date. I don't know if there are, you know, if it changed. I haven't noticed it recently. But, you know, because usually it'll just download automatically the latest episode. And I try to go in there and delete some of the older ones sometimes. But at any rate, for some people, I think, yes, it may affect them. For me, for my other show, I don't think it does so much. I don't know about the Spreaker live show. I mean, I think, and maybe the listeners will tell us in the comments, but I think people kind of scroll through the archives and look for a topic that interests them. You know, I don't think they're looking for episode 103 or 105 unless they're, you know, systematically going through every single episode. So I don't know, Rob. I don't know if it makes that big of a difference. I do get listens through iTunes and downloads, but I don't know if it's going to make a huge difference in my listens, right? So,
well, I think
what do you think?
I think part of it gets back to if you make that change, then it's not visible in other platforms too, like TuneIn and Stitcher and all that kind of stuff, because maybe those platforms aren't supporting that episodic tag yet. So, and I do agree with the concept. If you've done a good job with your podcast title, right, and that title is unique every episode, the question gets back to, and I guess maybe I'm a little old school, because when this medium started, people were looking at the titles and they had a hard time distinguishing between what's new and what's old, right? So if you have them numerically listed, you know, from the oldest as the smallest number to the newest as the highest number, then you can always see that sequential order, right? And be able to know that if I click on that, that's the most recent episode because it's the highest number, right? So, but if you have it just listed as just a generic title, you don't really know if you're getting a show that's current or not. And maybe that's important to you. I think that this is a debatable topic, and I can definitely see Apple's perspective on it. And I think it makes some sense to do it the way that they're doing. But I think it is for an old timer like me, I guess it's a big adjustment to how I've presented my content to my audience and how the audience has kind of, you know, as I've been a consumer of podcasts, I've liked to see these episodes organized. So maybe it's just an old dog needs to learn a new trick here, Alex. What do you think?
I think it matters for certain shows too. Like I said, I think some of those type of programs that, and especially they have seasons, right? People will release separate seasons, so you know, kind of know what's going on. Especially if they're doing a show. A lot of these shows on that follow television shows and things like that. Yeah. I've seen a lot of podcasts that are doing just following it. So that's important, right? You want to, you know, if you're looking for a specific show and, you know, you want to go back and see what they said about it, I understand. For other people, I don't think it matters so much, you know, and I keep using the radio example. It's probably not a good example, but a lot of the podcasts that I download are radio shows that I can't listen to because I'm working at the time sometimes during the day. Yeah. And I just go by date, the latest show, you know. But anyway, and I think too, Rob, I'll say this. I notice in my shows when a show goes live, it will do either well within the first, let's say, 48 hours. I mean, there's like a 48-hour window, right, where pretty much I get most of my downloads and listens. And then after that, it cools off considerably. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how much people go back through my archives, so to speak. So it depends on the show.
Yeah, you're basically doing content that's kind of current events kind of content. Timely. On your program. Mm-hmm. Where in this program, we usually talk about big topics that are typically less timely, right, and more kind of help and tips and tricks and things that are kind of timeless. So I can certainly support this new change, but what I struggle with at this point is on other platforms, not just Apple. Making this change impacts other platforms, and I guess maybe I'm willing to give it a try and just pull out those episode numbers and just make sure that the titles are adjusted so they have a unique aspect, and hope that these platforms will support a publish date in the actual listing, right, of the episodes. And if that's the case, then maybe those listeners can see that this episode was published in this order and it's current, right? And I think that's the other part too, is that when I go to see a podcast, I want to know that the podcast is active and that it's current. and it's up to date. You know, I like to listen to the most recent episodes primarily, but there is something to those archives too. And I can totally see, and it does display more of the episode title content too, which is also important. You know, if you put a numbering system in there, as your numbers get bigger, they take up more of that space that is allocated to displaying what the topics of the show are or what the main topic is. I mean, you don't have a huge amount of space up in that title, but it definitely will display more of that. And I was thinking about that when I was looking at this show in iTunes, that if I took out those numbers, you know, the SLS 150 or 148 or whatever number, we're at 149, that would free up some characters that would display more of the actual topic. So maybe I'll go in and just make that change, and we'll see, and you, the listeners, can give us some feedback on that if you like it or not. If not, I'll add the numbers back in again. It'll take some time, but anyway, I just wanted to apologize for the mistake that I made on the show last week and gave out some bad information about what Spreaker was doing. So we do fully support the episodic numbering system in iTunes, as well as the series numbering. So you can sort based on season, and which makes total sense. I mean, if you're putting out a, you know, like a serial series where you have episode 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in a season, and it's in that order, then it makes total sense. I was more concerned about the episodic because it is contrary to how a lot of these platforms handle like TV shows and handle other things. So anyway, well, let's move on and talk about our main topic this week. I guess that one turned out to be a pretty important topic, Alex, didn't it?
But yeah, I mean, I'm glad we clarified, definitely.
Yeah, and it's about some research that was done by a fellow, Dan Meisner, who's the head of audience development at a website called Pacific Content. And I have a link to this article that was posted online, but I wanted to really kind of dive into it and talk a bit about it. And it's basically, as you create a podcast, you need to think about what categories your podcast needs to be in. It also impacts, this discussion of categories also impacts probably to some degree what content that you create and what are the hot categories of podcasts in Apple's top 200 list. So as you look at kind of the development of the podcasting medium, you can see trend lines, and he dove in and found some trend lines around podcast categories that seem to be doing better in different times of the year and just kind of doing better overall. And we kind of wanted to run through some of the highlights of this research that was done. Alex, what's your kind of bigger picture perspective on the importance of these categories?
Well, we talk about some of these numbers a lot. We talked a little bit before the show. Sometimes I think there needs to be even a more narrower, is that right? A more narrow category for my show and some others that I hear. There's growing, like, you know, I think there's like new categories kind of popping up in podcasting because, you know, people are creating them. So it can be very hard sometimes to get found, especially if you're new. So I think the more targeted categories would be best. So I know we're going to talk about some of those numbers. I'm glad to see that one of the categories that I like, society and culture, that kind of current events group is on the rise, although it's lumped in with just about everything under the sun, some of these categories.
Yeah, I was a little bit, I think that the big thing that was really surprised to me was the largest group of shows. Now, what we're talking about here isn't necessarily the categories that have the most content in them or the most shows in them. What we're talking about is the category or the genres that are showing up in the top 200 list of Apple's iTunes charts. And it gives you a glimpse of what categories of shows are popular, I guess, more recent popularity with the millions of users of the Apple podcast platform. So it really kind of points out the genre categories that are reaching the largest group of Apple podcast listeners. I had to kind of set the expectation of what this data is really showing, but it is showing that society and culture is consistently the most represented category, and it's followed by comedy, business, news, and politics also rank highly. And we'll kind of dive into each one of those to some degree and kind of pull those apart too, because there's different trend lines that you see in there, and then also talking about like sports and things like that too, and where that is in the the scheme of things here. So was there anything that surprised you in that breakout?
I was happily surprised about the society and culture. Now, some of that I think I kind of just knew just because of what's going on in, I guess, the media climate. There's a decline in news and politics, and I think everyone's just burnt out after the election and everybody, you know, divided on Trump. People are a little sick of it, you know? So
yeah,
I see how that
was slowly... lot of overexposure, of too much media coverage, and people are just getting kind of tired of it, I think, right?
And there's tons of political podcasts, right? And there's, you know, tons and news podcasts, because you basically have a lot of these bigger news organizations just taking their broadcasts and turning it into a podcast. I'm thinking like CNN and CBS and things like that, CBS Evening News, whatever. So yeah, as people are a little burnt out, and then you see other categories that are steady. Like we said, I mean, society and culture, it's not a huge, you know, jump, but it's pretty steady. But business podcasts, I think that's been, I don't know, a pretty consistent, what's the right word? Like popular money. Everybody wants to do a business podcast, I think, because they think it's easy to monetize, right? Because you're going to be selling some sort of product and having interviews that people want to have. So that was huge for a while. I think there was a ton of, and it looks like they're popular. I mean, they're still pretty popular. Nothing too shocking, Rob. Nothing, I mean, stands out at me that, you know, knocked me off my chair.
Well, I think
what about you? I mean,
the thing that I saw with the business podcast stuff is that it was very seasonal. It was very focused on the kind of end of the year, beginning of the year kind of time frame.
Yeah.
It said that January is the month to start a business, right? And that's where you're seeing this trend line. So what we're looking at is a graph chart of month over month, the popularity in the top 200. It's not downloads. I guess I'm not exactly sure what they're tracking here, but I think it's the number of shows that are in that category that are in the top 200. So it shows a trend line up as you move into the fall and into the first of the year. So I guess that's when most people, you know, start thinking about starting a new business is in January. And I think a lot of the reason for that is kind of tax reasons. And it just seems like a New Year's resolutions or whatever, that I'm going to do something new in the new year and things like that, that actually are driving interest in that because there's people thinking about that. So that's an interesting one too. It may be a trend line to think about. If you want to start a business podcast, it may not be a bad idea to start it in maybe November, December or whatever, and you can really tap into the heightened interest in that category as you move into the new year. So I think that's the key takeaway for me from that. And the other one that was interesting, it's the summertime bump for TV and film. And this is usually, you know, when the big box office movies come out and things like that is during the summer months. So the interest in TV and film, I would think that the interest also in TV would be a little larger as you looked into, there would be heightened interest as you look into the fall, but I didn't really see that. So I think that this bump is really more related to movies than it is to, you know, it's really interesting because movies, you typically haven't seen a lot of podcasts that are about a particular movie, but you do see podcasts about TV shows, right? Because it's very episodic. But I don't see a lot of trend lines of boosts. I do see a little bit in like April timeframe for the number of things listed in that genre. But I thought it was interesting that TV didn't really jump out here.
When it comes to TV, what I was saying is if you look at the numbers, like kind of across the board, when it comes to TV, people are dropping cable. Nobody's really subscribing to the big packages that they had anymore. And they're getting like online streaming packages and piecemeal, or just cutting the cable altogether, not really having it and doing Hulu or Netflix and things like that. Myself being one of them. So, I don't know. I don't know if it's for television in particular. Movies, all right. But for television in particular, I don't know if it really makes that much difference anymore, because it's almost everyone I know who watches a series that they really have to watch, it's not really something they have to watch live. You know, they're waiting for it to come on Hulu in a day or two or whenever the heck it comes out. And I know a lot of people are the same way with films, you know, so I don't know, Rob. I think this is all shifting. And I know that the cable companies are like freaking out about what they're going to do because everybody's online, you know, consuming media. So like the traditional cable boxes that people are getting, or people just don't have them anymore. So I don't know. I don't know about the TV category. I'm not a huge TV consumer or podcast related shows consumer. So I'm not a good one to ask. I mean, and some of these numbers, I don't know if they're including, like I was just looking as you were speaking there. just going back over some of the numbers, they were talking about the best day for starting a business is in January, at least in Britain. So I don't know if they're actually, if that is included in American statistics, because it's hard for me to see from this chart. I have to go back to the full article. Yeah, but at any rate, sure. I'm rambling here. Yeah, but so I just noticed some of those things. You know, I don't know if this is skewed for just the U.S. or worldwide, because they're mentioning the U.K. and it could have other factors.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting too, because I mean, there's a separate top 200 list for the U.K. from the U.S. So I don't know if he's parsing it based on a global perspective. I'm not sure. I would think probably not, but. That's
you don't know. We don't know. Sure. Yeah. But there's, it's still good to look at either way you cut it. Right. Because I mean, if you see, let's say you have a category, I mean, let's say, you know, television show podcast just is falling off the radar and it's slowly dying because of what's going on in the media industry. It might not be the best show to get into if you want to make money and, you know, have a huge audience, it might be a smaller audience. Look, numbers are very important. I think if you're getting into any business, you have to see. You got to look at the numbers, right? How many other businesses in this area? And it doesn't have to be a geography thing, right? It could just be online. You know, are there 1,000 top 10 podcasts on, you know, the Stranger Things television or Netflix series? Yeah. Or are there 5, you know? So anyway, I mean,
we have to keep in mind too that this chart isn't necessarily a chart of how many downloads are happening with these. This is just a chart of the listings in the top 200.
So it has nothing to do with the actual number.
Yeah. It's more about what's trending in a short term time window, right? So you're looking at what people are subscribing to, maybe that they're commenting on, they're engaging with in a fairly short window of time. So as you look at this, it's gonna reflect how many show series are gonna show up in the top 200 list at any given time in that genre, right?
And we don't have the numbers, but you have to assume that they're doing pretty well if they're in the top.
Well,
of the
yeah,
class.
I mean, they're definitely heightened short term desires to connect with that content, right? So you can certainly extrapolate the fact that. People are looking for that type of content at that time of the year. So you're basically looking for the peaks and the lows, right, of people's interests in particular topics in the iTunes categories. And so I think that that's the key takeaway. So as you think about the timing of the type of show that you're doing, if you're doing a sports program, you just need to realize that the interest in sports typically peaks at a certain time of the year, and it's not usually jumps in September. Sports and recreation category jumps in September, which I guess kind of makes sense because that kind of rides along with when the NFL starts their season. College football starts up in the September October timeframe usually, so you can kind of see that heightening. You know, fantasy football and all those kind of podcasts that are out there. There's a heightened interest, but as you look at it, it's kind of a year-round genre that does really well, sports and recreation, because there's other sports too. There's football, baseball, all these other sports that are constantly coming up as we move through the year. So, but it seems to peak right in that September window, which is just prior to football, which I believe is the number one sport in the U.S. So that probably makes sense. So if you're starting a sports podcast about football, make sure that you get launched in August. That's what I would say.
I think in whatever sport it would be, football, baseball, basketball, right. I mean, the timing might be important there.
Exactly. And then the whole society and culture one is a steady rise. It's basically in 2018, early 2018, it was steadily growing and making up about 25% of the Apple Podcast Top 200. So but it's a pretty big bucket, right? And I think you've mentioned it a little bit too. I mean, shows like Dan Carlin's Hardcore History, S-Town, Freakonomics Radio, those type of things. So they're kind of educational, culture. It's a big bucket of stuff, you know, but more topics that are kind of educational, history-based, kind of, I think, storytelling to some degrees in there, because I don't believe that Apple has a storytelling genre right now, which Alex, you were saying earlier, I think in the show that maybe we need to have better categories of shows. I think we've reached a point where that would be helpful, I think.
Yeah, a little more specific, because like you mentioned, I don't want to just pick on this category, but yeah, I mean, society and culture, it's a huge dumpster, right? Not dumpster. I'm not trying to make it sound bad.
It's got good content over there.
Yeah, hey, that's my show. No, but I mean, for example, sports and recreation even, right? Now that's a lot of stuff. I mean, so yeah. Sports and recreation, I guess, does that include, I'm just thinking out loud here, we have the Grand Prix here in Long Beach. Does that include, you know, Grand Prix? I don't know, like sports and recreation. There might be, you know, cars or fast cars, classic car, whatever. Yeah. There's things like that. The Olympics just happened. So, of course, it would be sports. But, you know, you'd want to maybe narrow that down like a we're talking about series earlier, right? That'd be a series, right? You'd have to do this. It'd be a very long gap. But you have the summer and the winter Olympics.
That's a seasonal thing, though.
And you have a seasonal. And you can do it by, you know, category, you know, curling, skating, whatever, hockey. So, anyway, I think – I don't mind getting very specific. There's sometimes – I think Spreaker actually has some pretty narrow – it gets pretty narrow down there when you start drilling down, because when you go to – I think – I don't know, unless it's changed, Rob, I should look before I speak. But you can drill down a little bit more specifically. You know, it might be health, yeah. And then it gets, you know, more narrow from there. And I think that would help. iTunes, I don't know if it's that specific. I can't remember the last
time.
Well,
it does kind of have – iTunes has like pro sports.
Okay.
They have it. The amateur sports or kind of breakout and things like that. I do think that the categories need a redo. I think it's time.
Yeah, I think, well, I'm just thinking out loud, but I think about like a Pandora or something like that. And like, you know, you put in like like dance party, you know what I mean? Or, you know, and like you can get like a whole very specific. So like, for example, like categories of podcasts that are quirky, you know, or weird, strange, you know, stuff like that, where, cause I, you know, there's some that are kind of uncategorizable, if you know what I mean. They just don't really fit any of these bigger categories. I always thought I'll be honest with you. You know who picked my categories? I think it was Spreaker themselves. When they featured me on the page, I don't remember ever selecting it, but somehow it was, they said, you know, society and culture. And I talk about current events. They made a little blurb and I used it and I actually liked it. And so Spreaker did some work for me. Thanks, guys. Whoever did that in marketing over there, when they put me on the front page, and I liked it and I've always used it. But I said, yeah, I guess that is what I'm doing. I thought it would be news and politics, right? Or current events. But really what I'm talking about is American society and culture. Yeah, right.
I think that's a really valid question. I mean, just because a show is maybe leans a little more conservative or leans a little more liberal, does that make it a politics show? I'm not really sure.
Right.
That's really true. I mean, I think
no, I don't.
Politics, politics is a big bucket term to describe. I'm not really sure what specifically, actually. What is politics? Popular culture? Popular opinion? I mean, what is politics? I'm not clear on even the define, especially in this situation where we're so polarized. Politics can be a very negative term.
Right.
There's a lot of people that don't like politics right now, I think. So
yeah, they're sick of it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't even know that I would want to be in that category necessarily. I think it should be society and culture, or it should be some sort of maybe conservative or liberal, or, you know, like an independent or something. It, you know, maybe putting them in those more specific buckets might help the audience find that show better. And I know we're trying to solve this stuff, and we don't have control over solving Apple's categories, but I can certainly, I can put a bug in a few people's ear over at Apple to say, maybe it's time for a category refresh.
Right. And I think that, I was just logging in as you were saying this, just to double check, but I think with Spreaker, and I don't know if the users have done this yet, you can choose three categories, like, you know, and kind of narrow it down through the Spreaker site. I'm just checking to make sure it's still the same, Rob, because sometimes, okay. But some people haven't done that. You know, they just have one category or not. Yeah, sorry.
That's what Apple does as well. And Apple allows you to pick three categories, and those are in your RSS feed. So you can select those. And there are differences between the Spreaker categories on the website and the iTunes categories. And as you look at a lot of these other platforms out there, you know, the TuneIn's and the Stitchers and now Spotify coming up, they're all going to have slightly different categorization structures. And it's kind of forcing the issue that I'm going to talk about here in a few minutes in regards to Spotify. But, you know, around each of these platforms having very specific needs, it's kind of causing the hosting platforms to think of each of these platforms as a unique place to publish content. And that's going to lead us down the path to making some changes. And those changes have already started to happen. And they've been going on for a while now, but they've been kind of like not very important. And I'll talk about it a little bit later, but let's finish with the whole thing on this article. And I think we can pretty much wrap it up. But the summary that the author of the article put out there is that Apple's charts is a peer into the American zeitgeist. And as you think about what people are thinking about at different times of the year, what topics are kind of trending, can help you kind of figure out what type of show you might want to create and how that fits into the ecosystem of when to launch it, what topics are top of mind and what people are thinking. You really have to be in touch with that. And I believe another good place to look, I believe Google still has their Google Zeitgeist, I think, of keywords. I think if you go into Google and you type in Google Zeitgeist, I believe they're still doing that. I'm not sure, Alex. I haven't looked in a couple of years, but they used to publish a year-end zeitgeist of the topics that were trending during the prior year and that are trending currently, be able to align yourself potentially with what people are thinking about. So, specifically a show like what you do, Alex, could really benefit from that, I think, because getting to know what people are thinking about at any given time may help you create content that fits with what people are interested in.
Oh, that's, a crystal ball is what I'm looking for, right? Because that'll, anything that's timely or on people's, the tip of people's tongues pretty much immediately shoots up to the top of you can see that not just in podcasting. I just got, like I was from Boston there for a minute, not only in podcasting, but for YouTube and stuff too. I noticed that as well. Hey, Rob, one thing I got to interject, because I know we're moving on, but I got to say this real quick, because I just noticed it. And I don't know if you mentioned this earlier, maybe I missed it, but the categories on Spreaker, because I just looked on my own account, don't necessarily lock in step with the categories on iTunes. In other words, I just looked. And so the talk category that I didn't even know I was in, because when I drilled it down further, I thought it was society and culture. For some reason, it said talk. And in iTunes, that's comedy. Well, my show's not really comedy, even though some people would say it is. And I just went, well, let me just check another one. So I switched it to culture, which is what I thought I had. Because that's what I had originally, was society and culture on Spreaker. And it says the corresponding on Apple. And then actually it says Google as well, which is nice to know, is society and culture. So I'm switching mine right now. And other users might want to go and check that out, because there's a difference between, if they don't have the same category, they got to lump it in somewhere, and you're getting lumped into another dumpster. Right, Rob? Yeah. You don't know what dumpster that may be if you don't look in the settings. And just so people know, you can find that if you look on your show. You go to all shows, click on the particular show, and it's the bottom of the basic info tab. So take a look at it. Sorry, Rob. I had to tell that because I didn't want to just whistle on by that when I noticed it here. Sorry.
Well, so if you haven't done this yet, I think it's really important to go into your CMS area and set up your RSS customization. And I'm talking about,
it may boost your numbers
through Spreaker. Is it there is a separate area in there for iTunes from the standpoint of your RSS feed. So you want to enable, my recommendation is to always go in and enable the manual RSS feed, which will basically give you the ability to go in and make your specific selections of categories just for iTunes, right? So there's different, like Alex just said, there's different categories in the iTunes catalog than there are in Spreaker. So when you go in and you set up your categories in Spreaker, those may not be the same categories that you get put into when you submit your RSS feed to iTunes. So you need to go in and specifically select those categories in your RSS customization area in the CMS that's specific to Apple. And also there's a section in there for Google Play. And so what maybe, I'm going to talk a little bit more about this in the Spotify section of the show, but that's a recommendation that I'm not so sure all of the podcasters on the Spreaker platform really understand that distinction, that you have to get in there and play with different categories depending on where you're distributing your show. But anyway, Alex, do you have any stories or tips of the week that you came across here over this past week with your podcasting efforts, or something that you saw online that you thought was interesting, or?
One thing I'll mention, cause I kind of went on a rant on the last show. Other people, I don't know if people have seen this in the news, but all over the news, they're talking about the apocalyptic style removal just literally removing videos and deleting channels on YouTube. So I'm not the only one. Okay. I made it sound like it was like, you know, I'm being attacked. I'm being singled out. I'm the only guy in the world. It's happening all over the map. Big sites like naturalnews.com and other news organizations are having the same issues. So that's an ongoing issue for me. And, you know, this is always a thorn in my side. We talk about our podcasting pains, Rob. I know we're kind of bringing that into the weekly show. And this is one of them because I have seen my numbers drop. I mean, I'm not going to lie. My numbers have gone down, and I look at the numbers when YouTube was – or Spreaker, rather, was still pushing them out to YouTube. YouTube gave me a 2-week ban from uploading videos. So just in that 2 weeks period, I saw those shows that went up didn't do as well. So I notice a small decline. But sure. The good news is that's making me want to go to other routes and get it on other platforms, which I'm looking into. And we always talk about them here, Rob. There's always another one popping up. I don't necessarily want to just squander it and put it everywhere, but there's some other ones that, you know, Spotify being one where we're going to talk about that and others that, you know, will help hopefully get those numbers back to where they should be because, you know, you take a hit. So I'm not the only one. Other podcasters are having the same issue.
The story that I want to tell this week, or I don't know if it's a tip or not, but it's kind of like an update on some things that are happening in the podcasting industry that I actually covered pretty extensively in the other podcast that I do, the New Media Show at newmediashow.com, where Todd Cochran from Blueberry, myself, and Rob Walsh from Lipson did an episode last week, last Saturday, actually. And we covered a new initiative that's being kind of led by National Public Radio. It's called RAD, which basically... it's an acronym of a project that NPR is trying to pull together all of the podcast companies and platforms into supporting. And this also applies to the listening side too, all the listening apps, but to be able to support what's called client side metrics, which would be more on the player side. So what this group is trying to do is come up with a standard in how we insert ID3 tag metadata into the media files that we distribute out there, and that the players will recognize that ID3 metadata and basically report playback of that media file back to the primary host. So like Spreaker would inject into the ID3 tags, and that's basically text that's included in the MP3 file. That's it's like a space that's in there, and I don't know, most podcasters know that that's in there, but you can put in there all sorts of textual metadata. You can also embed like a image file. You can add all this stuff into the media file itself. So this is a standard spec that's being talked about right now that will enable better data around playback on the playback side. Most of the data that exists today in the podcasting space is based on server log data. So when you deliver an episode to, let's say, iTunes or Stitcher or one of these listening app platforms, the only data that's being captured right now by like Spreaker or Lipson or any of the other hosting platforms is data that's coming from the server side, and we're recognizing what's happening with that media file. But what's being proposed here is trying to get data out of the player side. So when a person downloads an episode and it sits on their hard drive, and then they play it in a media player, right? That media player will basically report home what happened to that media file. And so I'm hoping that we can get better playback data around how far people are listening into content, that type of stuff, and how many people are actually listening to that media file, and get a more complete picture. So that's what's being worked on right now. I think it's a good idea to try and get access to this. One of the big challenges, you know, as we all know, Apple is starting to do that with their playback experience too, like how far people are listening in. That's their new kind of metric that they released here just a few months ago. And Apple is like the 600-pound gorilla in this space, right, with 60% of the overall podcast listening. So Apple may or may not support this client-side kind of reporting because they're kind of doing their own thing. So it's just trying to get the other 30-40% of the market to support something similar to what Apple's doing is what's being talked about here. So I just wanted to share that's happening right now. It's called RAD, and it's being led by the National Public Radio folks. And I just wanted to put it out there that topic is being talked about, and companies and platforms are getting pretty serious about it. But anyway, that's my story on RAD, and just wanted to kind of move on and talk really quickly about the Spotify submission update that's happening right now. And I alluded to it earlier, is that Spreaker is in the process of creating unique RSS feeds. And we're going to see this happen more and more. We're going to have to create unique RSS feeds for some of these platforms, these listening platforms out there. So we support the specific criteria that they're looking for. And Spotify has put us in a position where the submissions that we're doing for you into Spotify is kind of requiring only shows that do not support dynamic ad insertion. And I think we've talked about this on the show as well. So what we're creating is separate, unique RSS feeds for just Spotify. So when the time comes, when you want to add dynamic ad insertion to the other parts of your distribution, going into iTunes or other places that don't block dynamic ad insertion, you're going to be able to do that. You can sign up and just participate normally, but the episodes that go into Spotify just won't be included in the dynamic ad insertion stuff because they won't be able to support it. So anyway, if you wanted to get your show into Spotify, and one of the other criteria is you can't have any unlicensed music in your show. So if you want to submit your show over to us to add to the submissions list, we're working on our second list that's being sent over to Spotify. You can send it to rob@voxnest.com. Or you can send it to rob@spreaker.com. It's kind of your preference. So happy to have you over there and get you into Spotify. Well, Alex, let's cover our listener comments in the last minute or so that we have. We got an email from Linda Irwin, or not an email, but a comment on the website from Linda Irwin. She goes, she prefers to have a lightly sprinkled platform news and baked until golden brown. So she was making, I didn't quite read that quite right, but I think what she was talking about is what kind of content in this show that she wants to hear. It says here, the episodes that go to Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud for me have always looked great, but when you share to YouTube, it doesn't look so great. So she believes it's YouTube's problem. So I don't know what you think about that, Alex, but
YouTube's got a lot of problems. I agree with you, Linda.
Yeah. And it says here, we include the sounds of eating as part of a couple of comedy sketches. So I guess that was put in there for content reasons, not because you're having lunch while you're doing your podcast. So, which I think
you'd be surprised. People have done it.
Yeah. And then she also writes that she uses what's called a Vidly. It's V-I-D-L-I-I is the service that to host videos. So if you wanted to sign up and host some videos as part of your podcast, I guess they have that. So that's certainly an option here. I guess it has a 1 gigabyte size limitation and 15 minutes in length. So I guess they enable video podcasts is what she's saying here. So that's V-I-D-L-I-I. Probably .com. So vidlii.com would be my recommendations. Linda, thanks for the comments here. Gail Nobles wrote about TuneIn is a good place to submit your podcast to, and she wishes that Pandora would accept podcasts too. Well, I do too, and we are working on that Pandora question. So, and TuneIn is great too, though I guess their submissions page on their website was down over the last couple of days. So I'm not sure what the status is, and I'm attempting to reach out to TuneIn to hopefully try and help them have a better submission process. So Gail, thanks for the comment there. Well, Alex, I think that's about all the time we have this week. So
yeah. And thanks for the comments. We love the comments. Still looking for some audio comments, but we love the comments. Yes. So thanks guys. That's always a plus.
Exactly. And send us your thoughts, rob at Voxnest or rob@spreaker.com. You can certainly send your thoughts that way, or just go to the SpreakerLiveShow.com website and then post your comment right there, like Gail and Linda did, like they do just about every week. So
yeah, we love the comments, guys. Keep them coming.
Yeah. Well, Alex, have a terrific week. And
thank you, sir.
And I appreciate you being here. And thank you for listening to the Spreaker Live Show this week. And we hope to have you back next Wednesday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, from SpreakerLiveShow.com. Thank you so much.